All right, class. Well, this is our second session after the holidays. Well, I want you to look at another lesson in your book. It's still in chapter 3 of the Old Testament Instance of Rebellion. But I want to look at another situation, another example of this rebellion that's happening in the Old Testament. And these instances are so meaningful. And they affected my life during the years gone past, and still do these lessons because it helped me to order my steps in leadership, order my step in following my apostle and being in leadership position because I understand more today than I did yesterday. But these were foundational lessons for me that kept me in a position of, I'm use this word, safety. And as I go along, you're going to understand why I use the position of safety. Because when you in leadership position, there are certain things you have to be sensitive to. You have to have a certain awareness of leading where you don't overstep your leadership under your leadership. Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense. Because you can overstep your boundaries that your spiritual leader had placed you in, and you can cause error. You see it? Now, I had something that I would practice myself in leadership. Well, maybe this might be a special class here dealing with leadership because a lot of you are in those classes probably are in leadership, under leadership. You're in authority as a delegate authority, but yet you're submitted to delegate authority, your spiritual leader. Well, having that being said, there has to be a certain sensitivity, certain maturity, and certain understanding in the spirit that you have to be wise and alert at all times in leading under delegated authority. Well, Apostle was traveling earlier in his ministry. He did a lot of excessive traveling with his spiritual father, and a lot of time I would be left in, you know, to tend to the flock while he was gone. Well, I said tend to the flock. I'm talking about preach, teach while he was gone. And he entrusted me to, you know, to be able to faithfully and honorably be there in his absence. And you have to have a certain amount of wisdom. And you have to have a certain amount of understanding to be able to, you have to be able to do what you do without dishonoring, overstepping boundaries, which is very critical when it comes to submitting to authority. And so I would have this attitude, that's a good right word, and I would rehearse it to myself all the time. And sometime you're being tested. What am I saying? You're being tested by the Spirit of God sometimes. He want to test your allegiance. At the same time, your authority, your delegate authority, your spiritual leader need to know your allegiance, need to know your attitude towards the ministry and attitude toward them as your leader. and you have to walk circumspectly. You see, when I say circumspectly, I'm talking about walk very carefully. You know, because you're being entrusted with a lot on your hands, even if it's just for an hour. There's a certain amount of entrustment go along with it, and certain amount of responsibility that goes with it. And I never took it lightly. And I would say this all the time. This was my form of protection. You're ready for me to say, I'm studying, and I'm taking my time trying to get this out because I want to get it out properly, so you can understand exactly where I'm going with what I'm about to say, dealing with strange fire, the offering of strange fire. And because before I define it, I want to talk about it a little bit. You see it? So a lot of time, many times, apostle would leave, and he would say this. He said, son, you have liberty? Yeah. In other words, you know, in my teaching, you know, why he's gone, you know, because he trusted me. He said, you have liberty. And them words would ring in my heart. I said, liberty? But I would hear the Spirit of God say to me, take no liberty. My goodness, that saved me at the very beginning. Why? Because the Lord helped me to be molded. And you have to put yourself in a position to be molded. Now, mind me, mind you, that I had no book to read, you know, when the apostle would lead me how to do what I did, you know, over the years and over time. But at the same time, I had the Spirit of God on the inside of me. And apostle, on one hand, he said, you have liberty, son. He let me know he trusted me. But at the same time, the Spirit of God would say, take no liberty. And that was my protection and form of safety. That's why I use the word safety. Why? Because it kept me from overstepping my bounds of authority, overstepping my bounds in my teaching, in my lesson. And so all I would do is undergird everything he's already implicated, everything he's already instructed. I would just water it at my level. Never try to overreach my level. Never try to overreach where I was at that time and try to promote myself at any time. You see it? Always kept myself in a submissive position. And it became a place of safety for me. And it became a place of norm. When I say norm, it became a normal way of life for me. Because I had secured a level of understanding that when apostles leave, I'm just holding everything down till he gets back. My mom used to cook, you know, for my dad all the time. You know, my dad would work in the fields. He was a farmhand. And every day at 12 o'clock, my mom had his food cooked. And at 6 o'clock, his food was cooked and prepared. You don't see that no more these days. Oh my goodness, you got to almost wrestle to get a hot meal today. But it's okay. It's okay. It's all good. I got a good wife, and that's not what I'm saying anyway. But times have changed. But and I would watch my mom. And even though the food was cooked, she'll put the food under a low fire. And that low fire was to keep it warm until my dad get ready to eat. So when he get ready to eat, it's a hot fire, hot food. My dad likes his food hot. And so I say that to say this. When the pastor will leave, I just keep the fire on the low flame. Just a little low flame. Just keep it hot enough so when he come back, you know, he can feed the people, you know, where he left off at. Not trying to. We had a man came to the church some years ago. I mean, over 20-something years ago. And Pastor was out of town at the time. And he left me in position, you know, I don't even know what you call it, as a host, I guess, for the speaker that came. And the speaker came and taught on a subject. My God, everybody was totally confused. And Apostle had to come back, and he had to take the congregation, and he had to make a lot of correction in what was said to get our congregation that it got stirred up because of the teaching back on track. So he had to back up and rework the congregation to get them back online where they was. Take whatever fear that might have been in them, whatever confusion might have been on their mind. And he had to take time to come back and get everything back in order. And I learned something years ago. You see, you don't want to represent your spiritual leader when he's out of town and he got to come back and correct everything you said. You see it? So that was very important for me to understand that my job is to undergird. Don't bring no new revelation in that my apostle ain't proved or got the congregation ready for. He's the visionary. He's the one that hears from God. He's the Moses that bring them from point A to point B. And you don't want to be the one to throw sticks in the gear. What do you mean throw stick in the gear? I work in a chemical plant. We dealt with a lot of moving, rotating equipment. And sometimes if a piece of metal would get between the gear, it would throw the whole rotating element off, sometimes damage it to the point where he had to shut it down. Well, sometimes you can do that spiritually. One wrong word can slow the vision down or to bring it to a halt for a moment. Can't stop it. Slow it down, and you got to go back and repair the whole. Hope you understand what I'm trying to say. I'm saying a lot of stuff here. But my whole point of what I'm saying is that you don't want to be a hindrance. You don't want to offer strange fire. Now, with that being said, I took about 10, almost 15 minutes just to introduce what I'm about to say in this lesson here, because it's so vital as leaders. This must be a leader. I'm talking to leaders in congregation, those that serving with your pastor, with your spiritual leader, that you make sure you don't offer strange fire like Nadab and Abihu. And know that this is another instance of dealing with sons. You know, if you think about it, if God deal with sons like this, with blood like this, what you think he'll deal about you or me? They're not blood sons. Are you with me? That's how critical these things are. That's how important these things are, these matters are, that we are talking about right here, Clad. These matters of doing the right thing. These matters of not walking in position you're not supposed to walk in. Doing things you were not instructed to do. You can't take ownership. You see it? You can't take ownership. It's not your vision. You see it? It's the vision you give your spiritual leader for the church. So you're in another man's vision. And I always say this, two visions is a division. And you don't want to create division. If you create division, you out. You a hindrance. I don't want to be a hindrance. If I can't add, I'm not going to subtract. You see it? You see it? All right. Leviticus 10, chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And it said, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took each of them his censer and put fire therein and laid incense thereon and offered strange fire before Jehovah, which he had not commanded them. Now, notice that they had their own censer. God had anointed them even with the anointing oil that he had Aaron placed upon his sons to anoint them for the office. So they were anointed for the office to serve, but yet God had to correct them with all their anointing. Don't let your spiritual leader have to correct you with all your anointing. You're not all that anointed. Don't you think you're all that anointed? You see it? You see it? All right. Verse 2. And there came forth fire from before Jehovah and devoured the offering. No, it devoured them. And they died before Jehovah. My goodness. That the sons of Aaron, the high priest, Nadab and Abihu, whom was supposed to be submitted to their father. Now, I'm going to read some points out here. And these points are so precise. I don't need to add nothing from them or take them away because they're so precise. And I'm going to go through some of these points. And I want you to look at your position, your level of service, and you tell me if you're walking in that particular area or alignment or not. If you're not walking in alignment, then you need to get in alignment. If you're thinking not aligned with this, then you need to get your thinking aligned with this. Because if not, you're going to be judged by offering strange fire. And we're going to define strange fire in a little bit. I don't want to be judged by offering strange fire. You see it? And let's look at some more. Listen at these points here. God has said Aaron to be priest and anointed oil was poured upon his head. In all matters of service, Aaron was the authority and his sons were mere helpers serving beside the altar in obedience to Aaron. In obedience to who? In obedience to your pastor, your spiritual leader. God never meant to let the sons of Aaron serve independently. God never meant for you to serve within your congregation independently. What do you mean independently? Doing things with your own thoughts and own mind, own idea. All right? He placed them under the authority of Adam. You see it? If Aaron made no move, wow. His sons also are not to move. You know, this apostle, oh my goodness. I see so much parallel similarity in this ministry. Oh my goodness, over the years, long as I could remember about apostle and his leadership, I never saw such coordination in the spirit when it comes to leadership with apostle and all those that work with him and among him. He trained this body of believers so well that it has a certain amount of reverential fear about operating out of your capacity, out of your divine position of authority. It's almost synchronized to the point where it flows so easily and precisely that apostle hardly have to make any corrections at all when it comes to leadership, those that have been delegated to authority. Now, I know you give God glory and praise for that, But that don't come overnight. That don't come without training. That don't come without example to authority. That don't come without him being in his position of leadership, following the Spirit of God with accuracy. But I see such similarity. I see his own children in ministry. And oh my goodness, I see Dr. Mottrell. When I watch closely to spiritual things. And Dr. Mottrell, when he's up there and he's doing some of the offertory things in the ministry, and apostles sits on the side, and then he'll back up and he's waiting to see. He don't want to do anything. He's looking at the apostle and looking at, he don't make a difference what he's supposed to do. He's just concerned about what he wants him to do. And he don't want to get out of order. You see, he don't want to say anything the apostle, you know, having ordered him to say. I see that such. I see that. I see it over and over and over again. Do they have liberality? Of course they have liberality when it comes to ministry. They're sons and blood sons. But when it comes to an Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, when it comes to Noah and a Ham, the sons don't make no difference. Flesh and blood don't make no difference. You see it? This is a spiritual matter here. And when it comes to that point, there's no sons and no daughters physically. There's spiritual sons and daughters. And I love it. I love it. I love my first family. I love watching them, how God orchestrated them and used them as example to the body of Christ. I love it when there's such precise submission, even in when it comes to family and the organization of authority and how it's set up structurally and how it's all so divinely orchestrated. I love it, Lord. God loves it. And that's why the ministry flows so easily and so smoothly, and Satan has no hold. He can't take a hold. You see, if you don't give the devil a place, he has no place. And so people wonder why, you know, that his family is such orchestrated in such a divine position that they don't give him any spiritual problem. You see, and that's so wonderful. Thank God for apostle and what God has ordained him to do and to be. And he's sharing this with the world, church. He's serving this with the church world. And we pray that the church take hold, churches take a hold of this divine example. And it's a privilege to be able to see how God orchestrated himself right in our midst, right in our time. You see, right here and right now, God is doing it. In real time, God is doing it. I'm not reading this in a book. I'm seeing it with my eyes. Almost like John talked about, we've handled, we've touched, we've heard with our ears, you know, the word of life talking about Jesus, how they walk with him. You see, and I'm living in a time where I'm in a living time zone with what's happening here at Word of Life as a divine example of what God is doing here. And I watch it over the years. I watch it over the years, how God developed this. Now, this don't happen by accident. Now, let me get back to these points here. His sons also ought not to move if Aaron made no move. Everything began with Aaron, not with his sons. Were the sons to venture to offer sacrifice by themselves, they would be offering strange fire. Anytime his sons would attempt to do anything that Aaron had not assigned for them to do, they would be in total error, and he called that strange fire. And what became strange fire when God sent a fire that he didn't orchestrate, you see, that he didn't ordain, that Moses didn't order, through the Spirit of God, and it became strange fire. It was a substitute. Sure, the fire came, but it was the fire of judgment, you see. Oh, it's a serious matter when we do things that we ought not to do, when we do things that God has not ordered through his divine leadership. You can't take upon yourself to do certain things. You see it? To say certain things. It's a divine, there should be a divine reverence. You see it? You see it? And apostle make it look so easy. You see it? And you got, and oh my goodness. That's why there's a flow. Even when the speakers come in special meeting, all the messages are synchronized. I don't know if you see that. They're synchronized. No, nobody go off on a tangent, nowhere, but it's all synchronized. Oh my goodness, so beautiful to see. It can't be explained. You got to experience it. I love it, Lord. They thought they could offer sacrifice by themselves, and so they offered without Aaron's authority or order or permission. Certain things you can do, certain things you can't do, you know, you have to be with permission. You know, I don't know if I ever failed over the years. Apostle would say, Ronnie, you got it Wednesday or whatever. And I said, my next question, any particular thing you want me to minister on? No, son. No, son, whatever the Lord lay on your heart. But the Lord not gonna lay on my heart something that's not lined up with what he's directing. It has to be something that's supportive. You see it? It got to be in alignment, and you have to know that. It has to be in alignment. The meaning of strange fire is to serve without an order, to serve without obedience to authority. Can you see that? So, Nadab and Abihu, they did things upon that altar without an order. They did it because they figured they can do. It's a lot of things you can do. A lot of things you can say. And it might sound good. And it might feel good. And anointing, feel like the anointing upon you to do it. Oh, but you, but it'd be strange fire. Sure, the fire came. Yeah, the fire came. Yeah, the fire burned. But it didn't burn the sacrifice. It didn't burn their offering. The fire turned on them and burned them. And God used it as an example. What can happen when you offer sacrifice without an order? When you offer service, people think everything is a good thing, but every good thing is not a God thing. They offer service. When you offer in service, you got to make sure your service is ordered by God. People just like to do a lot of things. Might sound good. Might feel good to you, but if God ain't order it, it's gonna bite you spiritually. All right. True service must be initiated by God. You see it? True service must be initiated by God, must be prompted by God, must be ordered by God, must be ordained by God. True service, I'm talking about service within the realm of leadership. You see it? Don't overstep your boundary of authority. If you don't know what to do, don't do anything. If you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Now, you know, I was also, you know, I did counseling within the ministry. You know, people would call, and they would set up appointments, and sometimes apostle would delegate something to me. And so, and sometimes there would be situation, and when I don't know what to say, I said, look, let me get back with you on that. because I don't have authority. I don't tell them everything, but I don't be having authority to say what they want me to say. I said, let me get back with you on that. He said, I always knew my realm and my boundaries of what I can say, what I can't say. Never took upon myself to say things that I wasn't authorized to say or to do things I wasn't authorized to do. I don't care what kind of project you're under. You might be under some building project or some project to get certain program going. Don't go make this thing designed after you. Don't you take upon yourself to make decision that your authority ain't checking to yet? That hasn't been cleared or passed or passed through authority? Make sure all your decisions are backed by your authority. Are you with me? See, you don't know how important this is. You just can't go do what you want to do, say what you want to say. Oh, listen at this. Serving God, listen at this. Serving God and offering strange fire seem to be very much alike. And yet they are worlds apart. See, sometimes we think we're serving God, doing the service of God. And in your service of God, sometimes you're doing things that are not ordained by God, even while in your service to God. But it seems like you're serving God, but it's strange fire. It seems like they seem like the same thing, but like Brother Nee said, they're worlds apart. So we got to be very mindful, class, what we're doing, what we're saying, you know, to people. It has to be backed by your authority. Don't take it upon yourself. It's not your place. I'm repeating, not your position. I'm repeating myself. Strange fire originated from man, from flesh. It does not require knowing the will of God or being the authority of God. You see it? It is wholly done through man's own zeal, and it ends in death. It has happened that our service and work becomes increasingly dead. It is time for us to act for God's enlightenment as to whether we are serving in the true principle of service or according to the principle of strange fire. God's work is the coordination of his authority. The work of God must be coordinated under authority. God wanted Nadab and Abihu to serve under Aaron's authority and not for them to serve by their own will. Well, class, that's as far as I can go. You've been in a good class, and I'll see you next week. God bless you.